Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the Season Keepers, the show where the only two people we recommend keeping for the season is us. My name's Matt, aka Clean Sheet Wipeout.
And my name's James, aka FPL Drug.
And welcome to another installment of our Sky Fantasy Football Podcast. How was your week?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Good man.
Yeah. Happy compared to FPL.
Yeah, if anyone wants to hear about our shitter of an FPL week, feel free to listen to that podcast.
Yeah, very good week in Sky though. I guess that's the benefit of having sort of you spread your team across your players across more teams. So yeah. Obviously, if one team lets you down, it's not the end of the world in Sky because you tend to cover a lot of teams.
Exactly, and it's obviously the unexpected captaincy returns that you're kind of forced to have as well, aren't you, to cover captaincy days? But we'll come on to all of that. I think as always, we'll do our rundown team by team, game by game, the tier points scored, and then we'll come on to how we got on, moves that we made, and looking forward a little bit. First things first, James. Chelsea 0, Man City 1.
Yeah, another good game for those Man City defenders. Clean sheet, obviously, but also an assist and tears for Cancelo, tears for Laporte and Diaz. Diaz one pass away from tier two passing tier.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit annoying, obviously, the booking as well. But still, very good returns for those City defenders and another clean sheet. I think that's five in a row now.
Yeah.
Unexpected as well against Chelsea.
Exactly. Obviously, Cancelo was there, got himself another assist. He's one that I'm really annoyed that I didn't go with. I considered him and I just looked at City's fixtures and thought, I don't see many clean sheets. You know, they might concede the odd goal and they haven't. They've been so solid. And yeah, both him and Diaz are absolutely flying. Obviously, if you're on them, fair fucks, because they've got you plenty of points and they're the types of players that you do genuinely, like, don't mind the pun, you keep for the season. They are season keepers.
Yeah, they are. I've got Cancelo on one and Diaz on the other, and they've been brilliant. Also, other players to hit tiers was Grealish got shot tier.
Yep.
Jesus got shot tier, obviously in addition to scoring. The ever reliable Rodri getting tier two passes.
He was so unlucky, one tackle away from tier one tackles as well.
Yeah, as was Bernardo Silva as well, who also got passing tier one.
Yeah,
very strong performance from City. It bodes well for them going forward. Obviously, they do have Liverpool next, but the way they played against Chelsea, it wouldn't surprise me if they won and dominated possession again.
Agreed, yeah. And I think the stats on Chelsea's side just show how well Man City pressed the ball, because none of Chelsea's players hit any form of tier. There was no short tier, tackle tier, or passing tier. So I just think it shows the dominance in the game. And you'd often expect Chelsea centre-backs at least to pick up passing tier, but the only player that got close was Christensen.
Yeah, and I've just noticed that, and that's a bit annoying because he's in my team.
Yeah, he was three passes from tier one.
Yeah, three away. But I think that doesn't really matter too much for those that own Chelsea players. I think kind of games against City, you kind of don't expect much from them, really.
No, exactly.
Next week, they've obviously got a great turn of fixtures. They start with Saints, and the fixtures just look great for like the next six.
Yeah, we're talking about their turn of fixtures. There's a lad on Twitter, I think it's Tom, that posted his team, and he's got five Chelsea defenders.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah, man, honestly, he was obviously unlucky in this game, but when, it's not if, it's when Chelsea keeps, say, four clean sheets in the next five, he is going to be absolutely flying.
Yeah, he's got Mendy as well.
Yeah, he does. Like, fair play, mate. Honestly, fair play. And good luck to you. I'll definitely be keeping an eye on how well that Chelsea defence is doing. All right, moving on to the next game. And, quite a surprising result, and one that probably pissed a lot of us off, given we would have gone for a Ronaldo captaincy. No return there. It was Manchester United 0, Aston Villa 1.
No, pretty disappointing. I think we're just sort of falling foul of it being the early kickoff. So we get the team news. We're like, oh, great. Yeah, Ronaldo's definitely playing. Obviously, Salah then goes on to play anyway, as you'd probably expect him to.
Gets himself a goal.
I guess there's just that, yeah, small bit of risk in your head thinks, oh, but what if Salah gets benched and Ronaldo scores? So, I mean, I think the majority of players did it, so yeah. I don't think it hurts us too much.
No, I think it was logical.
It was. The logic was there. But, I mean, anyone that owns Martinez and has played him every game so far this season will be very happy.
Yeah.
Clean sheet and save tier against Man United away is sensational. And obviously they've got a captaincy day coming up against Southampton. I think it's on the 5th of November.
Yeah, they do. I mean, so, Martinez is one that I'm looking at. The only thing I'm unsure of is obviously, yeah, we've got to cover that captaincy day. But do you know what the protocol is with players playing away during this next international break? Is it still the same scenario for those going to South America? Because if that's the case, will Martinez then miss one or two games again when he comes back?
I mean, yeah, that is the concern. I'm not aware of what the actual case will be. I'd imagine potentially he'd have to miss a game again. I don't know how long the period is that he has to sort of isolate or whatever.
But yeah, because I know the government were changing about which, you know, countries were on the red list and whatnot, but you'd like to think they might come up with a solution where, you know, players don't then have to miss more games, because the last international break was only, what, 3 weeks ago, and now we got another one. It almost feels like, you know, it's one kick in the teeth just as Aston Villa get their, you know, their star men back. They've got to go again. So, can't be great.
Yeah, and they're definitely missing. So, if he was to go missing, then yeah, maybe you're going to be looking at Southampton to sort of cover you for that game.
Exactly. And I mean, there are plenty of people, I think, that are still on Prowsey. So, you've got coverage there. Just as well, this isn't last season, because obviously Bruno Fernandes stepped up to take the penalty, which was a bit of a surprise. And I think that ball is still flying in the air somewhere in outer space, because it was fucking awful.
Yeah, terrible pen. Martinez, the shithouse, got in his head. He's done it again. I think he did it in the Copa America.
He did,
as well.
Yeah.
So he's got previous with regards to this, but it works. Whether you like it or not, he's got in his head and he's missed the pen. And
he picks up the absolute shithouse of a Sky fucking pen save, because even though Bruno's missed it, the keeper gets the pen save in Sky.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, fucking joke. You've got an absolute monster hole from Martinez there. He saved here one pen save, fucking, I think it was 16 points in the end. It's madness.
I feel if I see more than Sar.
Yeah.
I guess now we should perhaps move on to the Everton Norwich game.
Yeah, a game where I think quite a few of us have maybe got, or at least holding on to maybe one of their assets. I know you've got Alan, I've got Gray. And Gray thankfully came up with an assist in this one, but there wasn't much to talk about in terms of Sky. It was Everton 2, Norwich 0.
Yeah, Alan nabbed me an assist for the pen. I don't really think it was a pen. I think it was a bit soft. But credit to him. Townsend put it away, and it was a pretty solid performance from Everton, considering they're missing sort of the two focal points up front, Richarlison and DCL. So I think they'd be very happy with that. And because of Norwich, not much going on as usual. Gibson hit Parsons here, which is a bit surprising, really.
Yeah.
But I don't imagine anyone owns him.
No, I think that the player that's probably most owned by players is Billy Gilmore. Obviously, cheap Norwich asset. Most thought he was nailed. It's the second time now that he hasn't played a single minute. And for those holding it, I think there's probably a question to be had as to what you do. And looking at the questions that we've got at the end of the podcast, there's a couple there that are asking our opinion on Billy Gilmore and what to do. So I think we'll leave that one there, and we'll come back to it at the end of the pod.
Okay.
All right, moving on to a game which, lived up to expectations, really. It was Leeds 1, West Ham 2.
Yeah, great game, end to end. And Rafinha doing the business again. Great goal. Obviously got substituted due to sort of having a bit of a niggle, which sort of isn't really going away, but he's doing the business when he's on the pitch.
He is, yeah. I think he's very much managing that himself, isn't he? And then, you know, saying on the bench as and when he needs to come off. And it may well have, you know, cost them the opportunity to win the game, because you take him off and I think they really struggle for a bit of creativity on the pitch there. But he thought he had done his job, and yeah, it wasn't until the what was it, 90th minute that Antonio pops up with a winner, and he's just a man that continues to deliver. I was a bit pissed off with myself, to be honest. I obviously went from Antonio to Bamford when Antonio got sent off against Saints, missed that game, and I thought, oh, Bamford will be a good hold. Obviously, Bamford gets injured. I went straight back to Antonio, and yeah, it's cost me two transfers. It's pissed me off, but I had to, and I'm glad I did, because got himself a goal and got himself shot tier two straight off the bat.
Yep, fair play, and a bit of a silly mistake from me. I meant to take Richarlison out of the team for Antonio. I didn't do it. I think what I did was I checked my captaincies, made sure I'd done my captaincies, and thought, okay, cool, I've done that. Done. And then kind of thought I was done. But then obviously after the deadline, I realised I left Richarlison in there. And
frustrating.
Yeah, I thought I got away with it, in fairness.
I almost did.
Yeah, I was like, oh, brilliant, he's blank then. I can just bring him in next week or go for someone else. But yeah, he looks like he's returned, obviously. So I still may bring him in, and I'd hate to carry on not bringing him in just because of that, and to see him score each week. So great player. Yeah. If you're not already on him, recommend him in this game very much, because obviously West Ham will be playing on a lot of Sundays.
Yeah, they will, obviously, with the Europa League. And the other player I think worth noting is Benrahma. You know, not a player that I'd often put down for tackle tier, but he picked himself up tackle tier one and got himself a four-pointer. So that was quite tidy for those that do own him.
Yeah, very, very happy with that.
Jumping on then to a game that I know you were no doubt cheering about, because I think you're one of the only people that I know that owned Jamie Vardy. And it was Leicester 2, Burnley 2.
Yeah, I do. In one of my teams, I just like these fixtures. Brighton, Burnley and Palace, I thought was a good set. The plan is to move off after Palace ahead of Man United, Brentford, Arsenal, Leeds. But the way he's performing, and I might have to think twice. A 16-pointer for him. He got man of the match, shot tier two, two goals, started, but obviously did score that own goal.
Could have been even better without that own goal, couldn't it?
It could have been, but very happy with that return. Nearly captained him over Ronaldo. Obviously, that would have really fired me home.
That'd have been one hell of a captaincy shout.
Yeah, it would have been. But no, I'm very happy with him. And I think other than him, sky-wise, Leicester, there's not really much else.
Nah, Tielemans might be, you know, a player that's owned across quite a few players. Got himself an assist and, passing tier one. I guess Tielemans out of that Leicester squad is probably the only other one I'd maybe look to go to. I don't trust them defensively, despite obviously Soyuncu was a pass away from passing tier. Vestergaard just made it. But yeah, I think Tielemans is probably the only one that I'd maybe consider. Iheanacho, if he was to ever come into this team and get a solid run. We all know how good he was in Sky last season. He was captain upon captain upon captain and just kept returning. If you weren't on him, you were just falling down the ranks. But he obviously came on, got himself an assist, but he just doesn't seem to be in Rodgers' plans at the moment, and I don't get it. So until then, I'm going to stay well away.
That's fair enough. And then on the Burnley side, we've got Cornet getting a goal, but obviously got injured.
Yeah.
So that's a bit annoying for him. A Vidra assist is nowhere near on the tiers. Nah. But we don't need Burnley for captaincy. We don't want their players. Nah. So let's just move on.
Yeah. And moving on, we do to another return for a player that I think's quite popular in that midfield slot. It was Watford 1, Newcastle 1, and obviously an Ismail Assar goal.
Yeah, very happy with Assar. I'm disappointed I don't have them in both teams, but the fixtures do turn for Watford for the worse. So, but the question is he worth a transfer though? That in Sky, obviously, that's they're very valuable.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, you could maybe hold him for it. I mean, Sarr's got the potential to score against very good teams. I mean, he's a that kind of player, similar to Saint-Maximin, actually. I feel quite confident with Saint-Maximin against any team. I think he loves a big game as well. Loves to take on a few players. Got an assist in this game. Newcastle midfield, obviously, getting their weekly five tackles for Willock.
I know, honestly.
I don't know what it is. They must have a real kind of pressing, intense tackling
It's
midfield.
it just keeps popping up, doesn't it? If it's not Willock, it's Almiron. If it's not Almiron, it's like Saint-Maximin. It's quite surprising. And I mean, are we overlooking this? Like, is a stat that they're going to consistently pick up tackle tier two? Because if we are, why haven't we got a Newcastle midfielder?
Yeah, well, maybe we'll see them creeping up the leaderboard when we're trying to transfer in a midfielder. We'll be like, oh, what's Willock and Almiron doing up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on to what was the game of the weekend. It was Brentford 3, Liverpool 3.
Yeah, brilliant game of football and returns spread across basically the entire midfield except from. Well, I guess Mane, whether you classify him as a midfield or forward, nothing from him, and
No.
obviously quite a pricey player to not have any returns from.
Yeah, the most surprising part of this game is the fact that Trent and Robertson are the ones that hit the passing tiers and comfortably. And Trent got himself four tackles in this. They massively outshone Van Dijk and Matip in terms of passing, and usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, that's a very good point because I mean I own Van Dijk and that's kind of what you got him for is the tiers and the obviously the from corners as well. But yeah, the fullbacks kind of shown them up there. I don't know if that's just going to be a one-off for this game or if it's a trend we might see a few more times this season.
I mean, I sincerely hope it's a one-off because otherwise Van Dijk's going. Like, if
Well,
they're
yeah,
gonna,
not all that money for
yeah,
that,
if they're
yeah.
gonna concede the odd goal, I'm not gonna pick up 2 points for Van Dijk each week. Fuck that.
No, I'll be like, welcome to the team, Cancelo or
Yeah,
Diaz.
100%. Yeah, you'd probably just double up if you've already got one, or if you haven't got one, you'd do it's an easy move. It to be fair, it's finding a point, I guess, to do it, and it probably really isn't the fixture gain, but there's probably a points game in the long run.
Yeah, and then on the other side, Pinnock, another got. I think he scored already, hasn't he, this season?
No, I think that's his
Or
first
has
goal.
he?
No, that's his first
First
goal.
goal.
Yeah.
Okay, but.
Lovely goal it
Clearly,
was.
yeah, great goal for him, and I'd imagine he doesn't cost much in Sky.
No, but he got injured. He seemed to try and carry on twice and then got taken off in what, the 43rd minute. So he might, because he's a very cheap defensive enabler, he may well, have quite a bit of ownership there. At least, as a cheap option for some players that have maybe gone big up front, like the threemium that I think it's been dubbed. But yeah, you might have a bit of an issue there depending on the extent of his injury. Moving on then to the Sunday games, and first game up is a game that I attended, and a game that pissed me off for two reasons. Pissed me off because obviously Saints lost. And annoyed me because I had the captain on Sarr, and then I chose to move to Harry Kane and put the fucking armband on him. So instead of a 30 pointer, I got me 15 points, but I can't complain about 15 points from a goalkeeper.
No, fantastic return from Sarr. I'm glad to say I did captain him.
Prick.
I had the choice. I could have captained Saiz or even Højbjerg, but Sarr was the one for me. I fancied maybe a few saves in this game from our strikers,
Yeah, so did
but I
I.
did expect that our strikers wouldn't put any of them away, so he'd get his clean sheet.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating. We'll come on to Kane in a bit, but yeah, obviously when I saw that he was the one that pinged the ball up to Jimenez and then Jimenez scored, immediately I thought, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, just summed it up. Just in my head, I was like, Sky, no. But yeah, I've seen that obviously there's quite a few people out there that did captain him. And I think, yeah, Benny Blanco was one of them. And there's plenty of others. But yeah, to get 30 points from Saar, it's a complete Sky player, isn't it? Like, that would only happen in this format of the game, in which you have to pick a player that's playing on the Sunday and you just go for the only Wolves asset that you've got, and he gets 30 fucking points.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful return. Other than Saar getting tier two saves and assists and all else, obviously Jimenez finally scored. I don't know how many in this format are actually on Jimenez, but
not many, decent, I don't think, in fairness.
Decent return for him. I think most people went defensive when it came to Wolves. But they do have the occasional captaincy day where you could look to him. Be more of a differential than anything else, but I don't think I will be going there. Unless, obviously, we see the old Jimenez where he's scoring week in, week out.
Yeah, because you've got that Wolves-Everton game, which is a captaincy game coming up in the weeks to come. And obviously, if you don't have coverage, he could be an option. Quite a few people were on, obviously, Adama Traore to cover off the Wolves game gone by for this weekend and that to come. And obviously, he was benched this week. Came on in the 71st minute. Didn't do a lot. I'd be surprised to see that one going, because I wasn't impressed with Podence. I don't think he had much of an impact in the game. And I think Hwang wasn't that great either. In fairness, honestly, Wolves were poor. We were just worse. And that's the frustrating thing about this. So I wouldn't be going near any of them, you know, offensively at least. The only other thing, I know there's quite a few people obviously on El Yunusi. He's very cheap. I'm still of the opinion that the longer that we struggle offensively to create goals, the more rotation we're going to see. So obviously we saw Adams and Redmond replaced for Gineppo and Brozier. Shane Long even came on, you know, towards the end of the game. I would not be surprised to see El Yunusi subbed off, say, after 60 minutes in a few games, or even, you know, rotated entirely. Like, we've seen Gineppo rotated the last two games. It just worries me. Yes, he's great at 6.3 million. He's a very good option at that price. But you have to be willing to take the risk that you are often going to get 2 points and potentially a 0-pointer occasionally as well.
Yeah, not one I'm keen to go on. He does provide great value if he is starting like he is at the moment. I think the moment you start to see him getting rotated, I think ship him out.
And the risk is obviously at that price, 6.3, there's not a lot you can really go to. It's not like he's in the 7.8 where you can bounce around those, you know, those solid midfielders. It's quite a step up. So you're going to have to either have money in the bank or downgrade elsewhere to upgrade him.
Very good point. Yeah. So hopefully you've got money in the bank if you own him.
Yeah. And then moving on to the North London Derby, in which there was a big decision to be made. I know quite a few of us went on Harry Kane. Don't know why. Looking at his returns over the last 6 weeks, there's been nothing. I think I did it more out of fear rather than expectation. And that's probably the reason why I won't win this game, in all fairness. I think the better move, and I have seen quite a few people, obviously our friends over at the Man On Pod, a few of those went it, was Aubameyang, because you've now got the coverage for those Arsenal 2 single game days as well. And I honestly don't know why I didn't even think about it. It's obvious when you consider it now. But yeah, Aubameyang obviously got himself a goal, got himself shot tier, and he now covers for those fixtures. That's the thing. And yes, he could pick up an injury between now and then, but you can't really think about that in this game, can you? So they now don't have to make a move potentially for that Arsenal, whereas a lot of us will.
No, yeah, got that coverage. I mean, one of my teams, I brought in Ben White for that exact same reason. And to be honest, until, the 79th minute, it was looking pretty good.
It was, yeah.
I thought I was going to get a clean sheet. He was my captain, obviously, because I had no one else covered for that game day. And, yeah, it's kind of a bit heartbreaking to see Son score, but I guess that's just the way it goes. there'll be other games to come. And at the start of the game, did I really expect a clean sheet from him? Not really. I was just kind of hoping that he may reach one of the tiers. And to be honest, he was pretty far off. 20 passes from hitting passing tier and didn't even make a tackle. So a little bit disappointed on that front from him. But someone who I did consider only for about 10 seconds in my head was Smith Rowe.
Yeah.
I looked at him and I thought, the thing is, if this game was first, I'd have had the team sheet and I'd have probably brought in Smith Rowe instead. But because I didn't have that team sheet, I didn't want to take the risk and bringing in Smith Rowe. Mm. And he looked great.
Goal and
assist.
Played very well.
Impressed. Yeah, very impressed with him.
Yeah. Harry Kane was obviously the talking point all week last week as to whether you bring him in, whether you don't bring him in. And his ownership has gone up to 20% in the top 1K. So he's still arguably a differential. But what I've really got a hope for is the fact that I think Kane is obviously... It's between him and Antonio probably next Sunday for captaincy again because Liverpool play Man City. Are you really going to captain one of them? I'm not so sure. If you're on Antonio, I've got both. I've got Antonio and Kane, so I've got a decision to make. But just seeing how well Brentford played, it's a risk. But for me, because I've brought Kane in, should I captain him? Because why else would I have brought him in? And then obviously in game week 10, because we've got the international break in game week 9, Kane is up against Newcastle, West Ham are up against Everton. So it's that Kane-Antonio dilemma. And the more I think about it, I've already got the Antonio coverage there, so why the fuck did I bring in Harry Kane?
Yeah, no, it's a bit of a questionable one. I tried to scare you away from it, just saying, like, I don't think Kane's at it this season.
Neither do I, mate. Neither do I.
He only made 5 passes in 90 minutes. I know he's a striker, but that's mad.
The most annoying thing...
How involved he was.
Oh, yeah, but the most annoying thing about this is Kane could have and should have scored twice. Like, he had the header, which I think end of last season Kane's putting away. And he had the other chance. And on another day, Kane's bagging a brace against Arsenal, which you would have expected. Like, he scored the most goals in the North London Derby out of any player. And on another day, Harry Kane scores. And it's hindsight at the end of the day, but it was frustrating because I didn't get to see this game. I was driving home from the Saints game. But yeah, to see those highlights and see Harry Kane miss those chances just was a kick in the balls.
Yeah, no, it didn't pay off, but... Who knows? Maybe that Newcastle captaincy day, you'll get your returns.
Oh, I fucking hope so, because yeah, that's where he's got to make up the points. And then finally, obviously the Monday night game, in a game in which most of us at the start of overhaul had Webster. Webster got injured and we had a decision to make. And the decision, I think, generally was to either go Duffy or Gallagher. And in this one, I think both me and you went Gallagher and it paid off.
Yeah, he won the pen, which obviously got an assist for us. And to be honest, I expected a goal more than I did an assist, but I'll take it all day long. Zaha loves this fixture.
He does.
Put the pen away. One thing that I've just noticed in the stats for this game, I didn't really notice this while watching the game, but Veltman, 8 tackles in addition to an assist. That is filth.
It is, I was watching that kind of climb and climb and climb all game, and he was flying. And we speak about centre-back partnerships, and I think those with Duffy have been unlucky, because if you look at his partner, obviously, in Dunk has smashed it with 84 passes. Duffy was only 53 and 2 tackles, so you were unlucky there. And obviously those of us that went Gallagher, we benefited from the fact that he also got man of the match. So we ended up with a 7-pointer, had to captain him, so it's 14 points to end the week.
Yeah, I was delighted when I saw that man of the match come through. I think most people, were going with Gallagher. It, obviously, those that kind of had Brighton defence obviously probably didn't do that. But those that went with Gallagher could be very happy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Should we move on to how we got on this week then, mate, before we touch on community questions?
Yeah, let's do it. So team one for myself, I've got 83 points. That's made up of Gallagher, Saar, Vardy, Cancelo. Other than that, a few people sort of let me down. Van Dijk on 0 points, Christensen on 1. The Ben White captaincy didn't really do anything. But that sees me on 4,105.
Not bad.
In team one. Team two, got off to a flyer. 98 points.
Wow.
It's got the SAR captaincy in there on 30. Got Assais and Diaz clean sheet. Got Gallagher, Rafinha, Højbjerg even doing bits in a game where he didn't actually play that well, but he got passing tier one, tackle tier one. Mo, obviously I forgot to take out Richarlison.
Yeah, could have added another. You'd have hit 100 points there.
Could have been more. Yeah, oh God, it would have been as well.
Yeah.
That's annoying. And this team's now 3.8K.
Nice. So, yeah, so both your teams are kind of matched each other there. Like one's caught the other now, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And there's only 3 points difference between them. And I've just used one more transfer in one team compared to the other. So the team with 38 transfers, I'm pretty happy with.
Yeah, nicely done, mate. Because we said at the start, you said that one team wasn't doing anywhere near as well as the other, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And it just shows how quickly you can turn things around, you know, get a couple of captaincy decisions go your way and you can really climb the ranks. And I think, yeah, the fact that you haven't used many transfers either, you've really started pretty well and you can only really push on from here.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. I got myself 76 points in my first team. Annoyingly, obviously, that's the one where I brought in Harry Kane. So it could have been even better. Could have been 87 had a captain Saar over Kane, but never mind. I'm fairly happy with it. I'm up to 659th. So it's a far better start than where I was this time last season, like put it that way. And I finished quite well. So I'm hoping that I've probably bedded my team to the point where I don't genuinely think I need to make any transfers. Probably up until the Arsenal single game days. And that's when I've got a decision to make, because obviously I've got Gallagher. Do I just hold Gallagher for that Arsenal game or do I move to an Arsenal player? Because then I'd have to come off. Whereas if I fancy it, I could go Villa, and then Villa would obviously cover the Saints Villa single game day that we've got pushing on from that point as well. So I'm genuinely considering going against Arsenal. Whether I do, don't know. It all depends on how Arsenal perform in the next few weeks. I've been quite impressed with them the past couple of weeks. It's just I really feel that, say, both Palace and Villa could give them a good game. And that's why I might consider going slightly alternative. In my other team, I got myself 74 points, so relatively similar, to be honest. And that is sitting at 2.6K. So, yeah, I can't complain all around. I'm very happy with the midfield in that team. We've got Rafinha, Saar, Prowse, Gallagher. So, you know, they're all picking up points this week. And it's not bad. There's just some decisions to be made as to, obviously, captaincy coverage in the weeks to come. But I think, yeah, it's there or thereabouts. And hopefully I can hold me transfers for the next 2 or 3 weeks at a minimum.
Yeah, I hope so. No injuries, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Right, let's end, as always, with the questions. And we've got a few in this week, so I'll pick the ones worth talking about. And first things first, we go to Steve at FPL White Bear. He's got off to an absolute flyer, particularly in one of his teams. I think he's well up there at the moment. But the question is El Yunusi worth keeping hold of for the foreseeable future? I now have 2.8 million in the bank and a need for a Villa asset, but I can only move El Yunusi to a midfielder. Gray and Gallagher are my other mids.
Yeah, if you've got the money, move him on. He's not really going to get you anything. I don't see him scoring or getting any assists. Obviously, he had that outstanding performance in the League Cup a few weeks back, but I think, yeah, you could definitely move on to someone.
I think his issue there is the fact that he's saying he can only move him to a midfielder. So I presume the way that he set his team up, he's probably got, 5-3-2? So you have to do a midfielder to midfielder. I think you're really struggling to pick a Villa midfielder that I'd want.
Yeah, maybe, what's his name? The guy who they signed in the summer, not Ben Deer, the other one. I forgot his name.
Bailey.
Yeah. If he's fit. More consistent. Yeah, get some consistent minutes and is fit. I think he'd be a decent shout.
Yeah, I think Bailey's a good player.
Yeah, like captainable if he's playing.
Yeah, obviously you've also got, John McGinn, but he doesn't really pick up any points there. Douglas Luiz, occasionally picks up the odd assist, the odd 5-pointer, but I'd maybe look to maybe reshuffle or at least not rush it. Like, you could probably hold El Yunusi for the next couple of weeks, but if he does start to get rotated, you might have to look at moving, say, a defender to a midfielder and then, moving El Yunusi on that way. Because if you really wanted Villa coverage, I'm not sure midfield is the way to go in that one. Question then from Craig Kemp over at the Manon Pod. Ward-Prowse or Tielemans as the better option moving forwards?
That's a tough one.
It is, yeah.
I don't think there's too much in it between them. They're not prolific in terms of goals and assists. However, I think they do tick over on the tier side of things. Is Tielemans on free kicks for Leicester? I'm not sure if he
Yeah,
is.
I think he does take some.
Okay, he does take some. Yeah, I think he does.
It's a tough one. I mean, I
Yeah.
guess Prowsey, because you'd be looking to cover that Saints Villa game if you didn't have a Villa asset. But and Saints fixtures do turn for the better from game week eight, and Prowsey is a man that you can rely on. He's always going to be playing. I mean, he's played the last two seasons every single minute. He's going to get game time. My only debate, I guess, with him is the whole tiering. It's been harder for him this season to pick it up. I think obviously he got passing a short tier in Newcastle. Didn't pick anything up against West Ham, nothing against Man City, and he was quite lucky to hit passing tier against Wolves, to be honest. So it's a tricky one, but if you don't have the captaincy coverage, I'd probably steer you towards Prowsey. But it is tight.
It is, and I think that's what it might come down to, is that captaincy day.
Another question in from FF Dempsey. So I think this is quite a tough one. Which three midfielders at 8 million or under should we be building our team of premium assets around?
That's a good question. I mean, you've got Bannerama in there at 7.8.
I think you
You've
have to
also
have
got
Rafinha.
Sarr. Yeah, Rafinha, no doubt
Actually,
with the
no,
fixtures.
8.3. Rafinha technically doesn't even fall into this question,
There
but
you go.
I'd be having Rafinha. I mean, even I'd honestly find a way to have him in your team. I think he's worth it at 8.3. I think he'll easily outscore anybody that's 8 million or under, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
The other options there are tricky. I think it's pick the best out of a bunch. I don't think midfield is an area in which we expect too many points. We never really do in Sky, do we? Now we've obviously Antonio has been moved to a forward, for instance, but the likes of Damari Gray, that it ticked over quite well, but you've obviously got
Gallagher 7.3.
Gallagher. I think Gallagher is a very good option. I think he looked sharp for Palace yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised to hear see his ownership, even though you probably don't need it for captaincy unless you'll go that way for the Arsenal game. I think Gallagher could be one that, yeah, you have in there for the long term. And yeah, he's a great budget enabler. So what, Gallagher, Rafinha, and then pick one, honestly. You've got Alan. I think he's a reasonable option. I quite like Declan Rice. He's not bad. Picks up the odd passing tier for West Ham at 7.4 million. Arsenal might be one to look at. Smith Rowe, we've spoken about him. I think if he gets a good run of games, he's only 7.5 million. Him and Saka, I think, could be quite tidy options for Arsenal.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
There's quite a few Gilmore questions, so I'll pick one from Lee Williams here. What to do with Gilmore if he doesn't start? Do I wait it out and move to that 6.2 Southampton midfielder? I think he's 6.3, but he's talking about El Yunusi here, for a cap down the line.
How much is Gilmore?
Billy Gilmore is, give me a second, 6.9 million.
So maybe if you've got some money in the bank, like Conor Gallagher would be a very good move for what, 0.4 million more.
Yeah, if you haven't already got him, Gallagher.
Yeah, that would have been a good move to have made after the benching at the weekend if you didn't have coverage for the Monday.
Yeah, I think.
But still could be a good move.
Yeah, it could very well be. Elyounoussi is a gamble in the end of the day, and I'm not going to sell you otherwise. I think, yeah, he's played and started the last four games, but I'm going to stand by the fact I genuinely think our midfield are rotation risks other than Prowse. It's a punt, and if you're willing to take it, yeah, he'll give you that coverage, but there's nothing to say that by the time you get to that Villa fixture, Elyounoussi's on the bench, and what you're going to do then, because he's 6.3 million, you've probably moved the funds elsewhere. You might have even, bought, another Chelsea defender, used up that budget there. I think it's tough. I'm not sure Elyounoussi is the one that you'd want to be going to. It all
He's
depends.
so cheap. It takes all flexibility out of your team
Yeah,
that I
exactly.
don't like, really.
No, I don't like it at all. So I'm not sure how much money you've got in the bank there, Lee, but yeah, I'd probably reconsider picking Elyounoussi. Finally, question in from Luke NDN. So at what point do we start looking at the odd differential captain? I'm thinking stick with the overall percentage until maybe February or March time. I think that's probably about right, to be honest.
Can you repeat the question?
So the question is, at what point do we start looking at the odd differential captain? So I'm thinking stick with the percentage until February, March time, is what he said.
Yeah, I think you want to kind of cut, like, I wouldn't go against, say, Lukaku next week. So I think there's a time and place to do it. I think sometimes you're kind of forced into them, like with Saar on Sunday. So I guess they're always going to be about, so I wouldn't worry too much about having differentials rather than just focus on having the best players in your team.
Yeah, agreed. It's a tough one. There are probably single days where you could go differential. So for instance, I'm considering obviously maybe going against the crowd a little bit for those Arsenal games, because I think the Arsenal assets will be fairly spread anyway between Arsenal defensively and Arsenal forward. So what's to say I save the transfer and just go Gallagher in the hope that he picks up tackle tier, whatnot, or an assist. And again, the same with the Villa fixture. So there are games like that I think you can. Whereas, yeah, there are other days where, yeah, you've got an obvious Salah captaincy or an obvious Lukaku captaincy. I think you should stick for now at least.
Agreed.
Just breaking news. Just as we're finishing recording, the Liverpool lineup is obviously out for the Porto game. We knew the fact that Trent hadn't travelled, but it has been confirmed that he is currently out with a groin problem. So
Oh.
something to keep an eye on for the weekend. Hopefully we'll get some more news, because I know there's quite a lot of you out there that are on Trent at the moment.
Yeah, I own him, so I don't know why I'm not worried about
Yeah,
that.
so I'd
Yeah.
keep an eye. But yeah, confirmed by James Pearce that Milner's in
Oh
for
dear.
Trent. It was a groin problem. And Keita's on the bench
Yeah.
in that one. So yeah, tough one. Although, if it's a transfer, Trent's value's outstanding. So I think you
You can get
prob
anyone,
I
yeah.
think you just move to a Chelsea defender, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think they're the option. Right, yeah, I think we've rambled on for enough time there, mate. Good luck to everybody for Sky this week. I think there are some tough choices captaincy wise, and I think it's going to be fairly spread, so I am looking forward to it.
Me too.
As always, James, it is a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.